image and alone, but he made me worthy, and now by his grace, his mercy has made me his own. My sorrow and sickness lay stripes on his back. My sins caused the blood that was shed. My faults and my failures have woven a crown of thorns that he wore on his head. Unworthy am I of the glory to come, unworthy with angels. Just to know that he loved me so much, a pauper I walk with the King. Unworthy, unworthy, a beggar in bondage and alone, but he made me worthy, and now by his grace, his mercy has made me his own. But he made me worthy, and now by his grace, his mercy has made me his own.
Amen. His mercy is all we have to claim. Amen. Because we were all unworthy. And I love that verse, God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners. Amen. Aren't you glad that God found us in the worst conditions? Amen. Was still willing to save us. I don't like us sometimes, but God loves us. Amen. Amen. And it's amazing what he does and how he can change. I was thinking about the new birth again this afternoon and the change that God makes in people. Just amazing, yeah, the difference he makes. And I tell people all the time that when you come into a church, you know, if you're visiting and you're not used to being in church, you don't know the Lord, to look around at people in suits and ties and dresses, and these people don't have a clue what's going on in the world. And I mentioned a lot of times, we came out of the world. We know what's going on in the world. We're just different now because of what Christ has done through us. And we certainly don't have anything to brag about. It's what he has done in us that makes a difference. So praise the Lord for him tonight and his grace and his mercy. It's been good to have Mowry's with us. I know many of you were downstairs this morning, but Brother and Sister Mowry, he pastors the First Baptist Church in Laurel, Ohio. As we talked about this morning, my wife and I have known the Mowry's for 35, 37 years, something like that. It's been a long time. And appreciate his spirit, appreciate him and his wife, and good friends to us. And it's always a blessing whenever we get to see him, fellowship with him. So, Brother Mowry, why don't you come ahead, sir?
Thank you, brother. You know, I got to thinking of Brother Scott's theme song, "There'll Be No Party Over There." That's why he's saying that, you know, and understand it. Now, I need to apologize, okay? I said this morning that Jessica got whipped mercilessly. Have you ever, this morning, now, it really wasn't her, but she took the brunt for her older brother. Younger brother. Older brother. I got straightened out. Believe me, I got straightened out, Brother Scott, I'm telling you. Don't tell people that. Don't go to jail. All right. The book of... let me see, where are we going to start here tonight? Let's go to the book of James. We were there this morning. Again, I want to read one verse, verse number 16, and then we'll see the direction God leads us this evening. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, if you'd allow me, let's just go back a couple of verses. Would you allow me to do that tonight and kind of get the context of what we're going to be looking at here? Verse number, which one did you drink out of, Brother Scott? I don't want to drink after you. The way you sweat, never mind. Look at verse number 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Let's pray, and then we'll see a direction that God would lead us this evening. Father, as we bow in your presence, we acknowledge the fact that we're absolutely zero. We're nothing. But we want to acknowledge the fact tonight that you're absolutely perfect everything. So God, tonight as we look into your word, and if your spirit, as I said this morning, if your spirit don't do the preaching, we ain't going to get a whole lot out of this message tonight. But Lord, if you lead me and put the words in my mouth you want me to say, then these folks are going to leave happy. If not, they're just going to leave all just bent out of shape because I just said what I wanted to say. And they're going to say, what in the world did that preacher say? I couldn't understand a word. Lord, you do the preaching, please. That's our desire. May you get the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing in respect of the Word of God. You know, I thought about this, giving you a definition of the Word of God. Let me give you my definition. Asking. Isn't that deep? Asking. You know what the world does? I've got to take a drink first. Wait. I don't like people to watch me. It does say Brother Steve over here. Brother Steve, song leader. I can't read that upside down. And over here, most of you people don't know this. You don't know what goes on back here. You should see some of the stuff underneath there. What caliber is that Sam Lionel on the side in there? Guest speaker, pastor. So you turn that over. When you have guest speakers, you put it that way. When the pastor speaks, you turn it over this way, right? Is that the way you do that? You know, oh well. Here, wait. Ask. Do you know what the world, I'll get back to my notes here in a minute. Do you know what the world, you know how the world operates life? Save, put up, lay back. You know what the Christian ought to do? Ask. Do you know why we don't have? Because we're not asking. Isn't that simple? You know what? I think that's the perfect definition of faith. Ye have not because ye what? You ask not. Or when you ask amiss. Isn't that an interesting thought? We don't have because we're not asking. Well, when was the last time you just got along with God and just asked Him? No, and I'll quote this verse again. It was found in James chapter 1, verse number 5, that if you lack wisdom, you're to ask God. But the problem is that we like to make our own minds up and then make our own decisions, and then we go to God and say, God, would you please bless my decision? Wait. I think I've said this here before. I think I preached here about 25 years ago. Think about this. Get this, because this will help you. He's the shepherd. I'm the sheep. The shepherd, if I understand this correctly, is supposed to tell the sheep what to do. But the problem is the sheep says, I'll go here and I'll go there. In fact, you look at the scriptures, the Bible talks about that I'm going to go to this city and I'm going to buy and I'm going to sell and I'm going to get gain. I'm not even going to consider God in this thing. I'm smart enough to make up my own mind. You're dumb as a rock. No, I'm telling you what, when we think we get smarter than God is when you and I are going to get ourselves in a lot of trouble. I almost reverted back, brother. I'm sorry. But no, really, think about that. Here was a group of guys, if you went back to chapter number 4, here was a group of guys that got together and say, we can do this. We can go to this city and we can buy and we can sell and we can get gain. And you know what? We can prosper. Wait a minute. They forgot that they left God out of it. How often do we leave God out of a day's decision making? Listen, what does the Bible say we ought to do? What? Pray without what? But how often do we absolutely live by that? No, we're to acknowledge Him you know, not 80% of the time. No, we're to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. And He said He would do what? Direct our paths. But the problem is, we want to acknowledge Him about 50, 60, 70, 80% of the time. And the other time, we're just going to make our, you know, we do it ourselves. And then we wonder why our world falls apart. We wonder why God's not blessing. We wonder why God's not in what we're doing. Well, listen, because you didn't acknowledge Him in all your ways. We think we're just smart enough to figure it all out. But I like what it says in chapter 5 and verse number 13. He said, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing song." Now I think you and I would understand tonight that the word afflicted simply means any type of a hardship. Now, any type of hardship we might find ourselves in, if suffering of any kind, we're to do what? This is a very simple thought tonight. We're to do what if we're suffering hardship? We're to do what if we're suffering any kind of affliction? What are we to do? Let him pray. No, let him pray. And then let him do what? Keep on praying. Listen, there's nowhere in the Word of God that says we ought to stop praying until God answers the prayer. And then we do what? Well, we just keep on praying. We keep on taking our requests to God. We keep on going to God and asking God. I'm not talking about begging God for anything. You know, I didn't beg my dad for nothing. No, you never made beg my dad for nothing. You ask. And if he was in a good mood, he'd give it to you. But no, real friend, listen. No, he's our Heavenly Father. He loves us and he wants to bless our lives. He wants to give us his blessings. But we don't have because we're not asking. Or when we ask, we might consume it upon our lust. Lord, help me to have this and give me that. And let me add to this. And let me put this over here. And let me stack this up. And let me have another one of these things. You know, people like that make garage sailors happy. Why? Because they have something for 6 months and they go sell it at a garage sale. No, listen, my wife and I moved several years ago to the house we lived. We figured after 18 years we might as well buy a place. God's going to keep us in Ohio. And so we ended up buying a place about 10 years ago and we're still working on it, still fixing it up. But we stored some things 10 years ago. Guess where it's still at? By the way, we're having a garage sale in 3 weeks. You want to come, okay? We'll fix you up. But think about that. Think about how we operate our lives. Think about how we live our lives in trusting my ability, my physical, in me doing it rather than trusting God. What is faith? Is believing God with all things. God if everything's possible with God, right? With God, nothing's impossible. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Did not he say that if you just ask me? Just ask me. You know, listen, do you know the best plan of prayer is? Pray. No, I mean, you want to learn how to pray? Just go pray. It's like soul winning. Listen, study all the books you want. But you know the best method of soul winning is? Go do it. You know, I'm up to here with these different things that you hear as far as the different soul winning clinics and the different things. And while we're learning how to soul win, and we've only been to 300 this year, we're learning how to go soul winning. While we're learning how to go soul winning, 1,000 people's died and went to hell. Now, I'm not against those conferences where we learn how to go soul winning, but the problem is a lot of people will go from conference to conference to conference and they got their head full of knowledge, but their heart is far from Him. When they ought to just go do it. No, just go do it. If any man's afflicted, any type of hardship, suffering of any kind, let him pray. By the way, keep on praying. Do you know what affliction is? Afflictions, this is good. Afflictions are opportunities. Did you know that? No, afflictions are opportunities to do what? I told you it's a very simple message tonight, okay? It's an opportunity to do what? You been listening? Opportunity to do what? Give him a star. Now listen, friend, it's an opportunity for us to pray. But more than just asking God to do something. No, wait a minute. It's more. Prayer is more than just asking God, God, would you do? Would you do? Would you do? Amen. No. It's an opportunity for us to fellowship with God.
Amen.
No, don't look at it as asking God for something for you. By the way, we're masters at that. No, we are masters at asking God to do something for us. God, would you please bless? God, would you please add? God, would you please give? I don't have enough. Well, you know, pray tell, would somebody give me a definition of how much is enough? You know what? When we become the standard of how much we think we have, you know what? Our standards are so whacked out because of our sin nature. No, today the standard might be... Don't go to sleep, Miss Eileen. I seen you yawn. Good night, nurse. Did you get a nap this afternoon? I better not say what I was going to say about... I seen that little bench underneath her thing, and I was going to... I'm not going to say anything. I got myself in trouble saying something this morning, and I'm not saying it anymore tonight, okay? I got the stink eye. My. Where was I at? What did I just say? You don't remember. Listen, friend, prayer is asking, but prayer is our afflictions, are times that we can pray and fellowship with God Almighty. No, wait a minute. God wants us to spend time with Him. No, He just doesn't want us to come and say, hey, I need something. No, what's wrong with just going into God's presence and just praising Him and thanking Him for His wonderful mercy and His grace that He gives us? What's wrong with just going into God's presence and saying, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. No, I love you. Why? We heard this morning in the Sunday school hour, because you first loved me. I love you, Lord. Here's my life. Use me for your honor and your glory, you see. But listen, to pray is to fellowship. It's our opportunity to fellowship with God. But wait a minute. When should we fellowship with God? Well, verse number 13 says, when you're afflicted and when you're not afflicted. You know, we're good to go to God when we're afflicted. But what's wrong with going to God when we're singing psalms? No, when things are going well. You know what? We really don't need God when things are going well, do we? No, come on, don't look at me like that. We don't. We really don't need God when things are going well. Why? Because we got it all under control. You know what? That's when you need God the most. Because you know the Bible says, for him that thinks he stand, takes heed lest he fall. And when things are going well is when many times we will not go to God, and pretty soon we begin to do what? Start sidestepping. Start sliding sideways, and then what happens when we start doing that? Well, you know where you end up, don't you? Out of God's will, and then pretty soon you go back a few verses, and you're in some myth with some brother or sister in Christ, and you got all kind of problems in the church, and then the priest has to reach underneath here and... No, he carries his, but no, he really doesn't. I don't think he does. But friend, listen, the Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. Listen, you know, I take that literally. I mean, you don't sit down and just start praying. You just pray, you know, you don't become a monk and just kind of follow. But what does that mean when he talks about praying without ceasing? Prayer is never out of season. That's my interpretation of that. Prayer is never out of season. You know, like deer hunting comes in, and when did you come in this state, Brother Scott? You're a big deer hunter, aren't you? When does deer hunting come in this state?
November for gun season.
No, I'm talking about the good stuff.
September.
Deer comes in season. When's the last time you killed a deer?
Last year.
Did you really? I hit one with my truck last week. But you know, I hunt from the front seat of my truck. I drive down the interstate and look for them laying along the road, you know. But no, wait a minute. Deer's in season. Things are in season. But you know what? Prayer's always in season. You know, it doesn't matter. It could be morning, it could be night, it could be noon. Wait a minute. It could be time of afflictions, or it could be time, a season of what? Being happy. No, prayer is never out of season. In fact, do you know what Jesus told his disciples when the disciples said something over there in the book of Luke, chapter number 18? Some of you more spiritual brethren can quote that for me, but my mind's not as good as it used to. Well, it's never been good, Brother Scott. Don't you dare go there either. And men ought always to pray, I think is what the verse says. Isn't that what it says? And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and to do what? Wait, get this. And not faint. The problem is when we pray, but then we begin to falter a little bit. We begin to faint. We begin to fail. We begin to sidestep the Lord. And then pretty soon the Lord's saying, hello, I'm still here. I'll come back to you in a little bit. I got my life to live. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I'm going to live for this, and I'm going to buy, and I'm going to sell, and I'm going to get gain. By the way, you read there in James, that's exactly what they did. Not considering praying to God, not considering of lifting up His sweet name, not considering the opportunity that we have to come into His presence and allow Him to minister us and to fellowship with us. You know what? Some of the best times of prayer is when you don't say a word. Why? Because prayer comes from here. It doesn't come from your lips. It comes from your heart. That's the reason it's so important for us to keep our hearts right with God. But how easy it is for us to get our hearts wrong with God. We begin to ask, and we begin to ask amiss, and we begin to, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not among your members that war against one another? I'm talking about the members here, but then it also, I believe, is talking about the body and the members warring against one another. By the way, if you're at war with God in here, you're going to be at war with God with everybody outside of here. Afflicted, any type of hardship or suffering of any kind. Let him pray and let him keep on praying. We're to pray. You know, to pray is to fellowship with God. No, I want to emphasize that. But why? Because it is. You know what we learned this morning in Sunday school? It's not a duty to love God. No, it's a privilege to love God. You know what? It's a privilege for us to pray. It's a privilege for us to come. Think about that. It's a privilege for us to come into the presence of a God who created you. And all He wants us to do is come back and say, thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've done. Thank you for your good love and your grace upon us. You know, listen, praying is not something that we have to do, but rather something we get to do, something we want to do. By the way, if you don't want to pray, can I just tell you, something's wrong with your spiritual life. You're either not saved or something's wrong with your spiritual life. Why? Because, listen, I love my wife and I've been married 41 years. You know what? We spend all the time together. And I've said this here, I think I've said this here before. And I know I'm going to get stoned for what I'm about to say, but my wife and I have never fought in 41 years of marriage, Brother Scott. We have never fought. Now, does that mean we always got along? No. You know what I used to do when we get in that position? Listen, that's why God gave us men barns. No, really. You go to the barn. No, we haven't, we've never, you know, we enjoy being with one another. No, I enjoy being with my wife, and I hope she enjoys being with me. But we really do, we enjoy, listen, you know, I enjoy going into God's presence. I enjoy that fellowship that I can have with Him. And I don't do it because I have to. I don't do it because I'm getting instructions to do it. I'm getting to do it, and it's because I want to do it. I want to go into His presence. I want to fellowship with Him. You know what? A good man will pray continually. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. A good man will pray continually. Listen, you know what? You know what? We ought to be praying. God, give us an opportunity to pray. And He said, okay, bow your head. Go ahead. Just talk to me. No, that, this is real simple tonight. Listen, listen. Affliction ought to stimulate us to pray. Wait a minute. So should the good times. So should those times in which we're singing and we're merry and we're having things that's just going really good. Those are the times we ought to be praying to God. You know what? Afflictions ought to cause us to pray. But you know what else? So should prosperity. Because you know what? If God prospers you, you know what happens? If you don't pray and ask God for what to do with that money, you know what you're going to do? You're going to respond in a worldly manner, and you're going to go sock it in some stock someplace, and the stock exchange is going to fall through the floor, and you're going to lose all that money. You said it don't happen. Several years ago, I had a friend that had a construction company, and he asked me my opinion. Okay, listen, you're going to ask me for my opinion. I'm going to tell you my opinion, okay? He said, "Preacher, how should I invest my money? God has really blessed me. And God has really just, I mean, over the top, man. Our company is doing just perfect. Our company is just doing fantastic." He worked for the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. He worked for the construction company. He was the sole construction company in the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And he said, "Preacher, what should I do with my money? What should I invest? How should I invest it?" Larry Harrison gave me the best advice I ever heard from anybody. He said, "Invest it in the Lord's work." And I passed it on to him. You know what he did with it? He did what most of us do with our money. He put it in the stock exchange, and he lost $1 million. His company is no longer in existence today. And we can do what we want. Listen, I'm not against saving money and putting money. I'm not against that at all. And I'm not trying to tell you. I'm not trying to tell you. I'm no financial expert, okay, at all. But what I'm trying to tell you is, friend, we ought to be loving God and praying and asking God. Why? Because prosperity gives us the opportunity to praise Him and to invest in His work and to invest in the ministry and to invest in the souls of men and women, boys and girls. We ought not forget God when we're rejoicing. In fact, Paul told the church of Thessalonica that we're to rejoice, we're to be happy, even when we're afflicted. I like what he said in the book of the Apostle Paul when he said in 2 Timothy chapter, let me read it for you real quickly and we'll get back here to the thought. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 3, he said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Verse number 19, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound." Chapter 4 and verse number 5, having a form of, I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse number 5. He says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions." Well, let me ask you a question. How do you endure afflictions? Staying in fellowship with God. Endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist. You know what I read when I read that? Make full proof of thy ministry. That means your ministry should never stop, even if you're going through an affliction. But so many times when we're in an affliction, do you know what stops? First of all, our fellowship with God stops, because this, we're no longer fellowshipping with God. What we do when we're in affliction with God, we're asking and asking and asking and asking and asking. And God said, wait, just come into my presence and fellowship with me. Come into my presence and spend some time with me. Listen, you can ask anything you want. We can go to God and ask, but listen, He wants us to come into His presence and He wants us to just simply come and say, "Lord, I love You. I love You." Why? Because You first loved me. You taught me how to love. Come into my presence. I like what the psalmist said in the book of Psalm, chapter number 91 and verse number 15. Psalm 91 and verse number 15. He says this, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." But the reason he doesn't because we're not fellowshipping with Him. You may be asking, but when you ask to pile it upon your own lusts and your own desires when He wants us to fellowship with Him. You see, let me say this, in all honesty, you know, we're going to have troubles. I mean, read the book of Job. I mean, come on. We're going to have trouble. You know, life just brings troubles, does it not? It really does. We're going to have troubles in this life. But you know what? We're going to face troubles one of two ways. No, we are. Go back to the book of James. Let me show you what I mean by that. The book of James, chapter number 5 and verse number 9. Look at it here. James, chapter number 5, verse number 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. You know, one way you're going to face your trouble is by griping and complaining. I know I'm preaching to the church down the road, right? No, I will be Wednesday, but I mean, no, really. There's only two ways to look at trouble, right? Griping and complaining, or what's the other way? Look at verse number 13 of James chapter number 5. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. You know, we're either going to go to God griping and complaining because He's not doing it the way we think we ought, He's not doing it the way we think He should be doing it, or we're going to respond with what? I praise You. Why? You make no mistakes. Therefore, I will offer up a sacrifice of praise. How often should I offer up a sacrifice of praise? Continually. You see, continually. Praying and praising. But think of the privilege that we have as God's children to come boldly to His throne and just praise Him. Wait a minute. Think of the privilege we have to come to the Creator of the universe to ask Him for something. I mean, think about that. But often we ask what? How many of them do you really need? No, how many do them things do we really need? Well, you know, I've only got 5. If I had 6 or 7. No, wait a minute. We're to do all for whose glory? Look at all this stuff I got. No, wait a minute. We're to do all for His glory. And we're never to forsake the ministry for worldly pleasure. Ministry is what God's called you to do. By the way, God's called you to a people. Remember that old boy back there that got a bunch of people together and said, hey, we're going to go rebuild a wall? Remember that old boy? What was that guy's name? Oh, you're pretty smart. What was that guy's name? Got all them people together and built that wall. Remember that? The Old Testament?
Nehemiah.
There you go. Do you know what those people were responsible for? If you read all that passage of Scripture, you're going to find out that God gave each one of them a specific spot to work on. Don't try to work in somebody else's spot.
Yeah, that's right.
You worry about the wall that God put right in front of you, and you rebuild your wall, and you do be the best wall builder you can be. And then if you get done with your building your wall, then you can help the person beside you because they might be faltering and failing. Or if the enemy attacks them, you know what you ought to be doing? You got a sword in one hand and you got a trowel in the other. Fight off the enemy and get back to work. But so many times the enemy wants to fight against us, and then we drop the trowel and we start fighting with the sword and winging that thing around and whacking people. And the Lord said, listen, you forgot to keep on working. Listen, people are still dying and going to hell. And we're over here fighting the enemy and our trowel's over here. And we're wondering, well, when's the last time I personally led somebody to Christ? You know, Lord, I'm ashamed of that. When was the last time I personally introduced somebody to Jesus Christ? Get this. You have not. Because you ask not. Or if you're asking, you're asking amiss. You're asking that you might consume it upon your lust. No, Lord, I'm not seeing people saved because, well, maybe the fault's not in him. Maybe it's because we're just simply not asking. My, I almost stand up here ashamed tonight when the last time I led somebody to Christ. Personally led somebody to Christ. And do you know why I haven't led anybody to Christ for a while? I haven't really been asking. I mean, we've been going 100 miles an hour since, and I don't drive 100 on the interstate, okay? I'm a 55er, okay? Well, sometime. But since March, we have been to Pennsylvania twice. We've had two revival meetings. We've had Bible school. We've had 4th of July celebration. We have this and we have that and we had this trip. And I mean, you know what? Really, for the last, what, 7 months, 6 months, been pretty dry. Wait a minute. You know why? Because I quit asking. No, just quit asking. You know what I need to do? Get back and start asking. God, would you please send us souls? You know, seven times in James, he talks about prayer. He talks about what we ought to be doing. We ought to be praying. Seven times he talks about it. And then he says, instead of complaining, we ought to be about the situation. You know, the mature Christian is going to be somebody who's going to talk to God about it. You know what happens when we get to griping and complaining? You never keep it to yourself. What would be the purpose of griping and complaining if you kept it to yourself? You're miserable and you want to make everybody else around you miserable. So therefore, any person that would bend an ear, you're going to gripe and complain to them. And then pretty soon you got half the church griping and complaining. And then the problem with that is, this half over here is griping and complaining. Well, maybe this half. No, you understand what I'm talking about. And then we're at war with our members, one of another. We're just battling one another. When we all not be battling one another?
Right.
Listen, our fight is not against each other. Right. I think there was a fellow in the New Testament said something like that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But what do we do? What should we do when we find ourselves in a trying circumstance? That's what he's talking about here. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Well, wait a minute. If you're afflicted, you ought to do what? You ought to pray. Why? Because if you don't pray, you're going to grudge one against another. One against another. Rather than, oh God, please, help me to have the right spirit toward... Listen. Here's what we normally do. Lord, I wish you'd remove such and such and so and so. I wish you'd change them. Wait, you know, you're praying wrong. No, why don't you ask God to change you? I really went down there to get a drink of water. Thought I was making an illustration, didn't you? No, really, friend, listen. That's the tendency we have. No, you know what? We all have this stuff called flesh. And you know what, your flesh, we learned it this morning. I think Brother Merrick stood up here and said it. You don't have to teach your kids to say no. They kind of get it on their own, don't they? No, you got to teach them to do right. Well, wait a minute. You ain't any different. You know, you may have been, listen, I've been saved 42 years. And you know what? God's still teaching me to do right. I ain't arrived, I'll guarantee you. You know what, I got a lot of faults. I got a lot of failure. I got a lot of faults. In fact, you know, 4 years ago when God physically, literally put me on my back, I did not think I was ever going to get up again. Okay? I mean, I was down. And I almost, I mean, I thought I was done. I mean, I was writing out stuff and I was telling our deacons, I said, this is what you do. If I don't make it, this is what you do. If God calls me home. And God literally gave me an ultimatum. Says, you either change this or you're gone. Literally, in the book of Isaiah, he spoke to me and said, you know how hard it is for a 65-year-old man to change a habit he learned and started when he was 4 and 5 years old? Do you realize how hard that is? From my perspective, it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. But you know what? It's the best thing I've ever done because God led me to do it. And you know who's doing the changing? Him. I ain't went to no self-help group.
That's right.
You know what's helped me? Our men that prayed for me in my office 4 years ago because of James chapter number 5, they prayed for me and I started getting better after that. I preached for 2 years off of a stool. The last time I preached before I preached off the stool, before I never preached for 7 weeks, they wheeled me to the pulpit in my office chair and I stood up here on a bench and I could not preach standing up. The last time I preached for 7 weeks. It took me 2 years to get back to stand behind the pulpit and preach. But thank God I'm standing up again.
Amen.
You know what got me there? Him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've gone to therapy and I've gone to doctors and I've gone to this. But you know what He did to healing?
That's right. That's right.
And thank His sweet name. What am I saying? Friend, I'm saying we're going to respond one or two ways to affliction. No, we are. Doggone it. We're going to respond. We're either going to criticize. You know what? You know how much good criticizing and grumbling and complaining does?
Yeah, right. Amen.
And then you know what happens when we begin to gripe and complain? Here's what happens. Let me show you what happens. When we begin to find ourselves in some kind of affliction, here's what happens to us. We begin to look around to other people that are not having it kind of like us, what we're going through, don't we? And we're thinking, well, why does it always happen to me? Why do I always have the problem? Why do I always have to do it to me? Oh, so and so and such, that they never have nothing going wrong in their life. You never see any problems in their life. I don't know why they have to be. They're being blessed and I'm not. Maybe they ain't griping and complaining the way you are. No, think about that. And then you know what happens when we begin to gripe and complain in our struggles to somebody else or about somebody else that's got it easier than us. You know who we're really blaming?
Right.
Yeah.
Man, good.
No, it's true, isn't it? Listen, what we should do is to learn to pray and to ask God for the wisdom we need to understand the situation that we might use it for His glory. By the way, James 1:5 is still in the Bible. You lack wisdom, ask God. And the reason you don't have the wisdom to do it, because you ain't asking. Listen, I'm preaching to the choir here. Okay, you need to understand, when a preacher stands up here, God's already lit his light for however many years he's been in the ministry, speaking to him about the messages that he preaches. And then he teaches. A Sunday school teacher just doesn't sit down and whip out a message, whip out a Sunday school lesson. No, God's already rung his bell, I'll guarantee you.
Right.
Whether duck or what. But think about that, friend. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. No. You know what? God wants to... Think about this. Do you know what prayer releases in your life? It releases a little thing called grace. And you know what grace does? Grace helps you endure the situation. Paul said, "My grace is sufficient in hour of need." Grace helps you get through the affliction that you find yourself involved in. Paul said that he needed grace one time, didn't he? Lord, please, would you just remove this? Lord, please. Lord, please. Paul, I love you and your choice servant, but my grace is sufficient in hour of need. Look at chapter 5 of the book of James and verse number 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Hmm. You know, anybody can sing when things are going well. Anybody can sing when things are hunky-dory, if you please. But you know what? Praying and singing ought to be the norm for a Christian. Because we ought to be singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Praying and singing, by the way, not just from the lips, but from the heart. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I will say this. You're going to respond to your afflictions one of two ways. And I'm going to respond to afflictions one of two ways. I'm either going to gripe and complain about my affliction, or I'm going to ask God for wisdom to help me to use the affliction for Him. You ought to read Ephesians chapter number 6 sometime. The Apostle Paul said, all these pieces of armor is really unimportant without prayer and supplication. And then he says, I want you to pray that I might what? Open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You see, the devil would like to do nothing more than to get you sidetracked from witnessing to other people and doing the work of the ministry. By the way, you go back to chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians. That's our responsibility as church members, is to do the work of the ministry, not your pastor. Right. Church members. He's to teach and he's to preach and he's to pray. You go back in the book of Acts and you find out that there was a need among the church. And what did they do? They said, look ye out, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, that we might do what? Spend our time in this book and in what? Prayer. The work of the ministry. Where are you at tonight? You in some affliction? Could I invite you to pray? You happy tonight? Could I invite you to pray? No, pray. Pray. Fellowship with God. Pray without ceasing. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you know what? There's no greater joy in heaven from the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Friend, if you're not born again, oh my friend, listen. Please trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior during this invitation. Let's pray together tonight.